Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got lots to get to today. We'll get the Biden, if there is such a thing, the Biden administration looks like it's going to really spit in the face of the progressives and load themselves up with some old bureaucrat hacks. We'll get to the governor, Governor Cuomo, and his crazy Thanksgiving plans. Get to Mayor Dinkins. What a wonderful guy. Joe Bartlett, you must have known Mayor Dinkins. Nice man.
Yes. Very nice gentleman, yes.
No nicer man than him. You could say, well, I don't think he was the best mayor, but that, okay, but what a great, great guy. He had some good things as mayor. He brought in Ray Kelly, that's as police commissioner. He brought the tennis U.S. Open remained here and built that beautiful stadium. And he was the nicest man in real life. We'll talk about him a little later on. So if you were AOC, if you were a progressive, what would you have been thinking when Biden seemed to win? We still don't know if he's won, but if he has won, what would you be thinking? You'd be thinking, wow, you know, AOC thinking, maybe there's a cabinet post for me. Wouldn't you assume they're all thinking that?
I would have thought he'd at least put one of them in there.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren was thinking, do I want Treasury or maybe Commerce? They're all these, Bernie is thinking, remember, they were asking him, will you accept Secretary of Labor? Well, let me think of it. Now, it turns out he's got no use for any of these people. He is bringing in the worst hacks. I shouldn't say that. They're actually some of the best hacks in Washington. But these are the most mediocre bureaucrats. This Tony Blinken is a perfect example of a real swamp creature. The sharp-looking guy, impressive in a room. He's like a young John Kerry with a nice pinstripe suit, speaks in all this flowery language. Meantime, behind the scenes, he's a bureaucrat, but a real hustler. He could give the Clintons lessons in how to profiteer and cash in on office. He's been in and out of government. Whenever he's out of government, he sets up one of those companies where you can be a client and they'll advise you. They'll give you global advice. What it really means is you write them massive checks every month and you're paying for influence. They make phone calls for you. They got all the politicians in their pocket there, and they make deals for you. So this is Tony Blinken, real swamp creature. But again, like Kerry, been in every government job. He was the number two guy at State Department for years, but never accomplished anything. It's like one of these managers, you know, one of these baseball managers. They managed Cleveland. They managed, all these third-rate teams. They've been around the country. They've managed a bunch of them. But if you look at their record, it was always like 50 and 50. They never did very well. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're in New York, the Yankees always get a top guy. But if you're one of the smaller teams, you know, he's got a guy who just came from the other team where he was 72 and 71. That was like his best season ever. So that's Tony Blinken, useless guy. Sounds good. Same thing with Ron Klain. If you watch him on Meet the Press or those Sunday shows, a very good speaker. Well, he seems a real sharp guy. Meantime, lifelong bureaucrat, never got anything done. Now, John Kerry looks like a silly, foolish old man now with the spandex purple bike suit on, 78-year-old guy riding a bike. He looks silly, but in his younger days he was sort of a dashing guy, and he always wore that dark pinstripe suit, and he'd be on the Sunday shows and he'd speak beautifully. Well, in regards to that, we must always remember, and it would sound impressive, but he never got anything done in all his years in Congress. Was useless as Secretary of State. You could actually argue bad as Secretary of State. Signed the Iran deal, which is probably the single worst agreement ever. If you really look through that Iran deal, it's unbelievable that anybody in their right mind would sign it. But it's a Democratic swamp thing. It's just go for the symbolism. Come back with a big signed agreement. Looks like you've made some sort of great agreement. But actually read the thing. As far as the nuclear plants and facilities, Iran, they came up with Iran will self-inspect and let us know if they found anything.
Boy, he really negotiated hard on that one, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll self-inspect to make sure they're not doing anything they're not supposed to do, and they'll let us know if they found anything. And the other part of the agreement is we can inspect if we insist, but we have to give them 30 days notice before an inspection. So this idiot signed this thing. So I guess why not a cabinet post, Secretary of State, Secretary of State? I guess they didn't really want to do that with him. So they made up a title for him. He'll be the climate change czar. Now, this is a guy with six houses, 14 cars. This is a guy with two yachts, a private jet. He's now in charge of telling you to take the bus so you can conserve. You take the bus, but he's just a ridiculous figure. Howie Carr will be with us later. The reason we want to have him on, he is the John Kerry expert of the world. He's been covering John Kerry for like 30 years. He'll tell you some real... You'll laugh at some of these John Kerry stories. So this is the problem. He's bringing back every buffoon, bureaucrat, every hack. Oh, hey, also remember, Kerry and Biden are very close, and John Kerry's son is partners with Hunter Biden in some of those businesses, that China made-up hedge fund, whatever that deal was. Hunter Biden was a partner with John Kerry's son, Chris Hines, in all of that. So there's a deep connection between the two. So that's why they had to give him something. Biden will do his first interview. You'll see it tonight. Hard-hitting interview. It's Lester Holt. Hard-hitting interview. Lester will be asking the real tough questions. How does it feel? What did you think when you found out you... tell us...
Do you notice the tone change with these reporters? It's like... Everything Biden does is spectacular. No criticism whatsoever. What a great, brilliant move.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You thought they were lying before. Watch him now. They were, John Kerry. Oh, thank God he was available. Tony Blinken. Oh, my God. Are we lucky to have Tony Blinken back for the 47th time in between his profiteering? Who else am I missing? There's some other people. Well, here's what they do. Janet Yellen. Treasury, she's okay. She's a perfectly respectable choice. But here's what they do, these Democrats. Even Clinton did it. You know, Clinton was like a new outside guy from Arkansas. As soon as he got there, he brings in these Warren Christophers, the old Washington swamp guys that have been there forever. They all come back. But what these Democrats do, they bring in all these old hack bureaucrats. All the old machine comes back in. But then they always pick a couple of token people. Just to pick two. Who's the woman? The Muslim woman or so? First Muslim woman to run Homeland Security. They'll pick one or two token minority choices just to cover for the fact that the rest are all swamp bureaucrats that have been there for 1,000 years. But if you, it's like if you ran a baseball team. It's like if Steve Cohen buys the Mets and goes out and gets us some players. But they're all players who batted like 142 and have terrible records for 20 years. What would you think? Well, that's what's happening here. The problem is they're talking about a small inaugural. Have you heard the inaugural plans? I've heard it's going to be like a Zoom inaugural.
Yeah, cars probably in a parking lot again.
Yeah, they'll paint some white circles. And shit, but the thing is, the inaugural is a big money-making thing. Guys like Tony Blinken light up at that. You know, this is a big money-making thing, this inaugural.
Oh, no balls, right?
Yeah. See, when you see, why do they have six different inaugural balls? Is it because so many people love the president? No, it's to take care of these donors. You see, the donor, you give a couple $1,000, you can sit there in the inaugural and the parade route. Give $50,000, you get invited to an inaugural ball in another party. Give $100,000, you get invited to the main inaugural ball. So do that times 1,000, you can raise a lot of money. You can raise millions and millions on these inaugural balls. And then, so it's a problem for Biden. This is what they like to do, is raise money. And so I think they might use an entire airport just to paint enough white circles for all these people. Hey, by the way, the transition, you know, you keep hearing, when is the transition going to start? Why do I have to have a transition? When's the GSA going to approve it? And everybody's forgetting, all these people, including Biden himself, all just left the White House. Biden was in the White House for 8 years. They were all these hacks have been there for years. They don't even need the transition. They all know everything. But what was the rush? The part of the deal, once that GSA starts the transition process, first thing they do is hand you a check for $6 million. That's to cover expenses. That's part of what the rush was about. They wanted that $6 million check. And then you can use it to pay for everything, your cars, your offices, your this, your that. Otherwise, I guess, what were they still using campaign funds? So that's the rush. The president has approved the GSA to start beginning the transition, although that doesn't mean any of the legal battle stops. Now, I found out about Sidney Powell. Here's the real deal with Sidney Powell. She was never actually technically on the Trump legal team. They were coordinating with her. They had her at the press conference. But as she said, she to actually be somebody's lawyer, you have to sign a document. I forget what she called it. Some kind of agreement to represent them, a client agreement. So none of that ever happened. There was never any paperwork. She was never officially a Trump lawyer. But clearly they were making her part of the effort. And the reason they've said she's not part of the legal team, nothing against her, and they think she's got a really solid case. She's probably got the most important case of anybody, that Dominion software. But the problem is, and this is the reason they've separated from her, they've looked at it carefully. There is no way on earth she could get anywhere with that case for at least 6 months. It's a complicated case. Even if you can, but to prove it, you'd have to have the evidence. And in a case like that, where somebody tampered with the algorithm of the software, you'd have to get into the server. Because to do that, there'd be a transaction record in the server. The odds of getting to that, since this company put it overseas, there's just no way on earth this could be of any help in the next few weeks. It would take 6 months to a year to get anywhere in this case. So, and she says she'll keep going. But that's the reason for the distance from her. Rudy Giuliani, his is more practical. They found people throwing out ballots, sneaking in ballots, that kind of stuff. They got like 170 witnesses who've already testified under oath that they'll bring into court. And they're moving pretty quickly. They got turned down in the lower courts, which is what you want. Because you're never going to get your remedy there. You're going to get it in a very high court. Looks like they'll be in the Supreme Court, I'd say in a week, and we'll see what happens. Joe Bartlett, you still put it at 1 in 1,000?
Oh, I think it's moving up. This is it's looking more and more remote. You know, I don't see it, Mark. Look, I hope it happens. I don't see it.
You want Tony Blinkley running everything?
Tony, of course not.
Tony Blinken, this is he's one of these guys who's so busy profiteering and maneuvering around that he only knows the swamp people. Publicly, he keeps under the radar. I don't need anybody looking at him. And John Kerry, he'll do a hell of a job, that John Kerry. In fact, some of the accomplishments of John Kerry, I can't seem to remember any. Could you recite some of them?
No, not offhand.
You could ask Mrs. Kerry. She couldn't do it. Nobody could think of anything this guy's ever accomplished. So we got lots to get to. We'll get to President Trump a little later on. If he were to leave office, what would he do? Where would he go? We'll get to all of that coming up. Hey, do you have that audio of Governor Cuomo talking about why his mother can't come to Thanksgiving dinner? I don't have it, but...
You want to hear?
Well, wait. Let me just explain. The governor... yelling it. This is a typical government. You know, like Kerry tells you, you have to take the bus to fight the climate change. Meantime, he's got a private jet, a yacht, 6,000 cars. It's the same thing with Cuomo. You can't have Thanksgiving dinner. And then what happened? It came out that his mother was coming up to the mansion and his daughter.
Yeah. But this is what he said before he backtracked.
You put that rate of increase together with an additional increase from the high level of social activity. That is a dangerous situation.
Okay. But it's in a different soundbite.
Sometimes when he talks, it's like, well, you know, you have to. And then other times, like the cut you played, you put, and his voice goes high. That's when you got to worry that a gasket's going to blow or something. So here's
the funniest part of that was that the spokesman said he hadn't told his mother she was disinvited.
Yeah. Now, in the problem was, you're not supposed to get together for Thanksgiving. Meantime, his mother, his daughter, everybody's supposed to be coming to Albany. Well, how come we can't do it, but he can? Typical politician hypocrisy. And then what happened?
So then they put out a statement saying, no, he's got a lot of work to do. They're not going to come. But don't tell his mom. She doesn't know yet.
Yeah. But there was a clip of him talking about his daughter not coming.
It's inside a report. I can't get it without playing the whole thing. I'll play the whole thing if you want, but.
No, we'll hear it later. But yeah, in the clip, he said they'd disinvite everybody, and his daughter's not coming for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And in the clip, he says, "You know why?" He goes into the high voice in that one. "Out of love! Love! That's why she's not coming." The real reason she's not coming is she's thinking to herself, "Oh, who needs this thing?" You know, it's probably a pain in the neck for her to go sit through this Thanksgiving dinner. Isn't she the one with the state trooper?
I think, I don't know if it's the same one.
Oh,
well, she doesn't want to be at the same table with him anyway, I don't think.
Yeah, see, that's what he doesn't get. You know, most of you think, you know, your kids, "I can't wait to come home for Thanksgiving from college." If you said you can't come, but believe me, they'd find something. They'd be pretty happy. They'd find something much more fun to do. So, we'll get to Thanksgiving coming up. You're not supposed to travel for Thanksgiving. Meantime, there's a line 10 miles long at every airport, but you're not supposed to travel anywhere. Hey, check out the webpage. This is pretty amazing. I don't know who the hell this woman is. You've heard about this, but watch the video. This is the woman harassing Governor Murphy in a restaurant in New Jersey. First, this woman should actually be arrested. When you hear the clip on the air, they have to bleep everything. Here it is unbleeped. Listen to her language. You can't come up to somebody's table and start yelling stuff like that at somebody. You can't even yell like that in the middle of a restaurant, cursing and screaming. It's a crime. I don't know why they didn't arrest this woman. I mean, it's great to yell at the governor, but he's actually not wrong here. He's doing what Cuomo should be doing. Go out to restaurants, support them. You know, fight to keep these restaurants. Watch this clip. You won't believe the nerve of this woman yelling at Murphy. Hey, also, I don't know if you've seen this. Watch this. It's Donald Trump in A Bronx Tale playing the role of Sonny. Take a look at this video. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark. Well, let's take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Let's go to Mara in Nevada. Mara, how you doing?
Mark, I can't believe I'm first again. I called you last week. I was first, and I'm first again. Hi, Joe.
Oh, my God. I've got goosebumps. Go ahead.
Happy Thanksgiving. Mark. One dead or alive, Pat Cooper.
Pat Cooper is alive and well.
Yes, yes. And why I picked him, because Pasquale Caputo came from my old neighborhood in South Brooklyn. His family had a bakery, Caputo's Delicious Bread. But here's the reason. About a month ago, I was tested positive for the virus. I'm a very old lady. I had no symptoms. I was at the doctor, and with just fatigue. No fever, no nothing. They shoved that swab way up my nose. Three days later, called positive. Stay home 2 weeks, wash your hands, and hydrate.
Wow, you got very lucky. A lot of women do better with the virus than men, but you're very lucky. No great symptoms, and you're through it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Mark. Now I hear there's a quick test that you could do yourself. You put the swab up your nose yourself. It's impossible.
No, actually, there isn't.
What is it, Mark?
The doctors just told you this because they don't want to see you again. They just send it to you. You won't bother them that way. So, no, actually, the real answer, I'm kidding. The real answer is there's always been a quick 15-minute test, but it wasn't that accurate. It's only 60% accurate. Now, they say there's a brand new quick test that's totally accurate. I don't know if that's out yet. And then they're working on a home version they can send to you. But... would you stick that swab far enough up your nose?
Do it. Your body will reject you causing this kind of distress. It was uncomfortable, but it wasn't intolerable. It was a few seconds. But, I mean, okay. I don't get it. Oh, Mark.
Anyway, Mara, we love you, but speaking of uncomfortable, we have to go. I'm kidding. You're a nice woman. Thanks for calling. Did you ever have that test where they stick it up your nose?
No, I have not.
Oh, it is. It's only for like a microsecond, but it's the weirdest thing in the world. So anyway, but the vaccine is on the way. And she's, a lot of women, the doctors have told me, this do very well, much better than men with the virus, generally. But, and she's lucky because now she doesn't have to worry about it. You're immune at least. We know you're immune for at least 6 months. There have been, not a lot, a couple of cases of people getting it twice, but it's generally, you're guaranteed immunity for at least 6 months. Let's go to Donna in Long Branch. Hey, Donna.
Hi, good morning, Mark.
Yes, Donna.
So, Mark, that Marmaluke, Fredo's brother,
yes.
He does all these press conferences with all these people, isn't he worried that he might make his mother sick? Because let's face it, he's in contact with a lot of people. He's not wearing a mask.
Yeah, that's a good point. He doesn't wear a mask. We've got a million pictures of him hugging people in crowds, at parties, walking down the street with no mask on. So, you know, you got to worry about these politicians because guys like him, they'll see, you know, 50 people a day every day. Even Biden, you know, Biden never really wears a mask. He always does it on camera, but you can tell he's never worn a mask in real life because he's always fidgeting with it. He's not used to having it on. Let's go to Joel in Virginia. Hey, Joel.
Good morning, Mark. Speaking of Mr. Biden, does Mr. Biden, his friends in the media, and the swamp think that all 73 million plus of us who voted for Mr. Trump are just going to turn our back and just look the other way and let this continue? This is a country based on freedom, not on being taken apart. What do you think?
Well, the good news is it looks like they're not going progressive, far left, kooky stuff. They're bringing back all the same hack bureaucrats that were always there that basically just cash in on government service. And Joe Bartlett, we got to figure out if Biden were to take office, what do we do a month from now? Do we just sit here criticizing Biden all day? That's not much of a program.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's not going to do much to criticize.
Yeah, it'll be like Obama, where you won't hear from him for a couple of weeks at a time. What will President Trump do? Well, we'll get to that later in the program. Well, when we come back, Howie Carr will be with us. Now, he, the big, big talk show host in Boston, he has been covering John Kerry for years. He can tell you some John Kerry stories. We'll get to that in a moment on 710 WOR. Let's get all the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett. Well, Howie Carr is one of the great talk show hosts in America and best-selling author and columnist. You go to HowieCarrShow.com. You can get his books. You can get his column. You can get the show, the podcast, HowieCarrShow.com. Howie Carr, how you doing?
Very good. Very good. I'm certainly happy for John Kerry. You know, he thinks Joe Biden's got this election won, and now he's going to apparently get his private plane back that he's been, you know, pining for at least the last 4 years since he's not the Secretary of State. I think that's what it's all about, though, for John Kerry, you know.
Now, nobody knows John Kerry better than you. You've covered him for years. How do you think this happened? Was it Kerry begging Biden, please, I got to get out of the house. I need something.
I think you hit the nail on the head, begging Biden, you know. Well, I got robbed, you know, and I missed that plane. And, you know, I have my own little, my second wife's first husband's trust fund owns a little private plane called the Flying Squirrel, but I really need one of those important USA jets.
So he's not a big fan of yours either. He's heard you talk about him, obviously.
No, he's we've been around together for a long, long time, you know. It's just, you know, there's so many retreads coming back here. I just can't believe it. You know, I mean, Janet Yellen is 74. Kerry is 76. This guy, Joe Sullivan, that's going to be the national security advisor. I mean, this was a guy who was promoting the Russian hoax theory in 2016. I mean, he said because it seemed very believable. And I thought to myself when I read that this morning, I said, do you want a guy who believed the Russian collusion hoax theory as your national security advisor? I mean, you and I knew that was BS as soon as it made its appearance, right? I mean, you have to have spent 5 minutes with Donald Trump to know it's ridiculous. It was ridiculous. This is going to be bad. You know, listeners said yesterday, he said there might be some buyer's remorse setting in, except that most of the people who voted for Biden were either dead or never existed in the first place.
Well, but a lot of these voters, especially these young Democrats, were voting for change, for hope. And then you get these Tony Blinken type swamp guys, these deep state guys who serve and then cash in and then serve and then cash in. This is not what they were looking for. These old hacks.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was. But, you know, again, you got to just try to hold Georgia. And, if it doesn't work out for Donald Trump, and I'm still hoping it does, but you got to try to hold Georgia and, you know, just hamstring Nancy Pelosi, which I think is going to be pretty easy to do. Did you see that there's that one final race in upstate New York, and they've identified that dead people have been voting in that race in these absentee ballots? Mark, what's your guess? Are they voting for these Democrat incumbent or the Republican, Tenney, that used to have the seat. I'm going to go out on a limb.
It makes sense, though, because if he... I think, you know, dead people identify with Biden. They say, you know, he's one of us. We can... I think that would explain it. So.
Night of the Living Dead. That was November 3rd, 2020.
If the president were to lose, and the word is he'll go to Mar-a-Lago, that the Secret Service is already there reinforcing whatever they have to do security-wise, setting the place up for him to live there. What do you think? You're also a Palm Beach resident, part-time there.
I think he's definitely going to spend more time in Palm Beach than he is in Manhattan. I don't think he has any desire to go back there, especially, you know, with de Blasio and Cuomo running amok and ruining the whole place. I think he's definitely going to be in Palm Beach. I mean, he likes to play golf down here. He's got a couple of three golf courses actually, down here that he can play. It's a pretty friendly location. It's very secure, and he's very comfortable there, and before he even ran for president, he used to like to move among the tables at dinner, in the dining area, and he was like the head maitre d', you had enough water there. How's the bread? You like that meat? That's my mother's recipe. I mean, really, just like a head maitre d', like a guy who, worked his way up and owns a nice restaurant, and now he's got somebody in there. He's got this old German guy from the Breakers who, is technically the maitre d', but I think he would go back to the old days. I don't know. I feel really bad that that this is that close, because I really do believe he won the election. Don't you?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, everything Sidney Powell is saying, I think, will be proven. Problem is, probably not for a year, but it looks like that Dominion software moved hundreds of thousands of votes in the right place. And
I know, yeah, and they stole Senate. I mean, I don't know how many elections they stole, because they lost all those seats in the House. But I mean, I think John James in Michigan really got jobbed big time. I mean, he was ahead by the same margin Trump was ahead by at midnight, and then all of a sudden, he's behind this non-entity backbencher named Gary Peters. It's very frustrating. Very frustrating. Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's going on in Massachusetts? Here we got a big spike going on, and they got a governor saying no Thanksgiving. Meantime, he was planning to have a Thanksgiving party. Get the same hypocrisy.
It's the same. It's the same. He and Cuomo and Murphy. Murphy and Baker, our governor, went to the same high school the same year, and then they went to Harvard. It's like they're in a competition to see who can be the biggest jerk. It has no impact. I mean, Massachusetts, if you look at the death stats, they're like New York's and New Jersey. They're number two in nursing home deaths per capita. Two-thirds of the deaths have occurred in nursing homes. His Department of Public Health directly regulates those nursing homes. And, one of his hack political supporters that he appointed to a job running the soldiers home in Western Mass has been indicted and charged with criminal negligence. And he just gets a total pass, except for me and a handful of others. I mean, he's getting a total pass from the media in Boston. By the way, he's a Republican. But, the thing is, there's some, I mean, Hogan in Maryland is a Republican, and he's doing a terrible job, too. Yeah. All they can do is think to shut everything down. And it's just so counterproductive. The restaurants aren't where these infections are being spread. They don't even know where the infections are being spread, but the ones they have a theory on, it's like under 2%. Same in New York. I don't understand. When I read about what happened to Murphy the other night in New Jersey eating out, I mean, usually I'm not in favor of that. I hated it when they did it to Sarah Sanders, but Sarah Sanders wasn't bothering anybody. Murphy has been hassling people. If you hassle people, you destroy their livelihoods, make their lives miserable, you got to expect to, take a little bit of pushback.
Yeah, but I'll defend Murphy on that, because at least he's going to restaurants. The problem we have is de Blasio hates restaurants. Cuomo has no interest in restaurants. These two guys should be out every night visiting restaurants, talking to the employees, talking. Instead, they're just gone. They're absentee politicians. At least Murphy was out there supporting a restaurant.
Yeah, well, I mean, de Blasio is term limited, right? So he I mean, plus he's just an egomaniac. I guess the, you know, Cuomo can run for re-election, right?
Well, the state's totally broke on the verge of bankruptcy. I don't know if that qualifies you to run for re-election. Biggest crime spike ever.
In a blue state, it does. You know better than that, Mark. Come on.
Oh, okay. Well, everybody, hey, you know, you can watch Howie Carr. We're always, Newsmax TV is exploding in the ratings. You can watch Howie Carr on Newsmax, and you can just listen to him. Go to HowieCarrShow.com. Yep. And you got any good Chris? You always have great things people can buy there for Christmas.
Yeah, we got the stocking samplers. You can get two of my T-shirts and two of my books for $19.95 at HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store. It's a good deal. But move fast because we're running out of the popular sizes like large and XL. But they'll get two T-shirts and two of my books for $19.95. So it's a good deal.
Hey, I love his books. He's written some great bestsellers. Just go to HowieCarrShow.com. HowieCarrShow.com. Howie Carr, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Mark Simone. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
You too. Take care. Everybody check out the webpage. We got on the webpage, we have this video that everybody's talking about. You may have heard this played on the air, but it's no good when they play it on the air because they got to bleep the language. Watch this woman confront Governor Murphy in a restaurant, and she's terrible, just vulgar, crude, cursing and screaming. I mean, the bravest woman I ever saw, but completely nuts. Take a look at the video. Oh, also, you'll love this. Watch this. Donald Trump in A Bronx Tale. Watch Donald Trump play Sonny in A Bronx Tale. Take a look at all that. It's up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.